And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Well, everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Beat, brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sports books. Go to BetMGM.com for more. I'm, of course, Nick Mongren, along with Brendan Quinn, here on a rainy, disgusting February day in Metro Detroit-ish Michigan.
Yeah, works.
We'll land on that. Brendan, how are we doing? Another busy week, another hectic week for the Michigan folks, and that's what we're going to talk about today, of course. Otherwise, how are we doing, all things considered?
I'm fine. I'm fine. There is, the snow is melting. Mm-hmm. There is a golf season somewhere ahead.
That next snowstorm is going to be a real kick in the ass, though. It's coming, too.
That's not, that was really uncalled for.
Well, I just got to tell you, it's on its way someday. But anyway.
So, yeah, this was a
interesting weekend here.
Interesting weekend. So, we were looking at a dog to adopt.
Oh, wow. Right?
Yeah.
What kind of dog, do you know?
It's a mix. He looks like a lab, but he's got like some Australian Shepherd. He's got some terrier. He's got some
long hair
stuff.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. No, he's a short hair guy.
Okay. That's cool.
But he looks like a lab, but has a black and white face. But he's got like major anxiety issues and all this. There's all kinds of stuff. So he had a visit, right? So this was his second visit. And he's there and he's, you know, he's pacing, he's kind of freaking out, blah, blah, blah.
Sniffing stuff.
And it's, you know, they arrived with like 10 minutes left in the game or so. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's starting to go
the other way. Yeah. For Wisconsin.
Starting to go Wisconsin's way. And I'm kind of watching the game with one eye. I'm not writing off of it. So, you know, I'm not overly paying attention. And then, you know, the game's winding down.
As it does.
I almost turned it off.
Yeah,
winding down. And, you know, I'm sitting there with the dog. And we're talking about, like, oh, man, okay, crate, no crate. What can he handle? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I just see a little thing. And I'm like, huh.
Maybe I should keep this on.
A little dust up. I start looking around for the remote. Let's get some volume going, you know. And you're waiting also for CBS to cut the feed.
Get some volume going.
You're
because the game ended.
CBS to cut the feed. So, like, shout out for them for keeping that going.
Yeah, the announcer's voice, I don't know who the announcer was, but his voice started escalating quite a bit.
Yes,
so, yeah,
he realized pretty quickly. And he called out, like, he's like, wow, Juwan Howard is not going directly into the handshake line.
Yeah, he saw it right away. Yeah.
He saw it right away. And then when he saw the initial, and he's, you know, they were all over it. So, but yeah, then you just, you watch it happening and you're like, oh shit, this is bad. Mm-hmm. And then you just see the hand come over the top. You see Juwan's hand and you're like, it's just one of those moments. You're like,
well, never seen that before.
Is this it?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Is that it? You know, like, I don't know, you know, in that immediate moment, what does this mean? You know? And it's just like DEFCON 5 immediately, you know, I just like got up in the living room, just walked out and they were just like,
this dog's back not in the office here.
And I just closed the door behind me. And that was the last they saw of me.
For 14 straight hours or whatever. That's a window into our lives here, ladies and gentlemen. But so, I mean, you bring up an interesting point, though, because that's the, I think, the point that caught everybody on, you know, watching it live, including the people that were there, I suppose. And we'll get into that as you wrote about all this this morning. You know, when Juwan Howard's hand comes over the top like that and he hits another person in this huddle or scrum of people, you know, and I'm watching it live, the first thing I think is in my head, I'm like, well, I've never seen that before, right? Like, I don't think I've ever seen a coach, you know, I didn't know if it was a player, another coach, or ref, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing I think. I'm like, okay, well, that's new, right? Like, yeah, that's new. And so doing this job, we think, that's new becomes this is going to be something maybe really bad. And so that's where my head went immediately as well, where it was just like, okay, I've never seen that before. I don't know what the penalty is for that. It's probably unprecedented. That means he could probably be fired here. Like, I would think that that would certainly be grounds for dismissal on a number of, you know, on a number of things. I would think even in the contract, I would think even for cause, they could probably get him on that.
Yes.
You know, in that moment. So that's where my head went immediately, as doing our jobs the way we do it. And I'm sure fans maybe weren't as quick to go there. And I don't think they were. And I don't think that the people there were either necessarily. And that brings up all sorts of questions about this situation, because it's like, yeah, there are things that can't happen. There are all, you know, all this, but it's like, I mean, I don't think the people in the moment even really quite totally obviously grasped all the things that were going on there either. Just very interesting.
All right. I mean, so like, I would say some fans went there immediately. Wisconsin fans went there immediately. Michigan State fans certainly went there immediately,
that's
according
fair.
To my mentions.
Yeah.
Like that immediate reaction though, in terms of the people there, I think it's sunk in time. Like, oh my God.
You can see it throughout the day. Yeah.
You know, and that I touched on that on the, in this piece I wrote about, like, the, you know, hearing the descriptions of the plane ride home.
That's what I'm,
you know,
right.
These, because if you think about it, right, it's okay. So a melee breaks out, all hell breaks loose. Everyone, you finally get to the locker room, and that's when you're, you know, it's like any fight. It's like, it's just chaos. And you're just like, where were you? What did you see? You know, like anyone who's been in like a college fight or any of that dumb shit, right? Like, you know how it goes once you like, you get to your separate quarters and everyone's like, is everyone accounted for? Okay. Is everyone here?
Yep.
Is anyone hurt? What the hell just happened? Where were you? Did you hit that guy? Did I see you hit that guy? You know, like that kind of thing.
Everyone's panting.
Then next thing you know, they're on the bus, right? They packed the bags. They're on their bus. Yeah, they're on the airport. And then the way it was described, like, once everyone was kind of settled in their seats on the plane, and like, it's like that low hum of a plane is when it just, you didn't hear anything. And just everyone was kind of in their phones, and you can picture it. I mean, it's totally a very, I feel like, relatable thing of like the gravity set in, I think, right then. And that's when people were going through social media and seeing more and more clips of it and realizing like, this is all anybody's talking about right now. And, you know, and you start to see, oh my good, like some people are calling for Juwan's job and wait, like what's about to happen? Who's going to be suspended for how long? So that's how that played out on that side. For me personally, like I saw this, the hit, right? The over the top, open-handed, whatever you want to call it. The strike. I called it a thump on my story.
Swat, like a swat. Open hand swat. That's what you call that in the pro wrestling world.
And I'm like, wow, yeah, like you're right. I've never seen that before. And I sit there, you start thinking about precedent, and there is no precedent really. But then the thing that really settled in for me, like the most egregious thing about the whole incident, and I've talked about this on a couple things so far. Like, look, Juwan shouldn't have hit the guy.
No,
everything that happened was wrong.
Right.
Obviously, like, let's not be stupid about it. But the thing that stuck out the most to me was how much worse it could have been and how much danger, the perilous situation that those Michigan players were in. Like, that was a bad spot.
Really bad.
You're on the road. You have no idea. Like, thank God it wasn't
people there. You know?
Thank God it wasn't an 8 o'clock Thursday night game, you know, where people had been bruising pregame and all that shit. Right. It was a Sunday game. I assume
that's a national TV game, man. That's a sauced up. That could be a sauced. I mean, that's an intense building.
It's an intense place. And you just never know. And you know, those guys were suddenly put into a situation of having to defend their coach, defend themselves.
Right.
And that can't happen. It can't happen from the top down.
No.
You know, a player does something stupid, you're like, oh God, you know, that sucks. But it can't come from the top.
So there's a couple of things here, because Juwan Howard, I think, thinks of himself clearly as a player first still, right? Mm-hmm. Like a player who's a coach, of course, but like, you know, in his mind and in his instinctual mind, and that's part of what makes him a great coach and makes him, you know, have that ability to connect with these guys is that he has the mind of a player. He thinks about things the way that a player would. Everything. Mm-hmm. Literally, mm-hmm. Brent and I have talked about this 1,000 times on this show, like how Juwan Howard can go to a kid in a recruiting trip and be like, man, there is literally nothing in the world you could go through here that I haven't seen. Like, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. his sort of, but in the moment, he can't do that. Like, when you're competing as a coach, you have to find a way to shut that valve off and turn into, you know, the leader, the poised adult, for the lack of the better phrase. And you can't do the things that you did. But you flip that over to the other side, you know, and you're Greg Gard. Mm-hmm. You cannot, and this is something that never gets discussed. And in the moment, you know, people want to debate what's more egregious and all this, and that's bullshit, sure. But whatever.
Right.
If you're another coach, you cannot walk over to another coach that you clearly are looking at as a player. You're mm-hmm. looking at him more as a player in that moment. I think if we can look back at the situation, Greg Gard's going over to explain to him, you know, what he did in that situation or why he did what he did, as if he's going to teach Juwan Howard a lesson, as mm-hmm. if he's going to, like, he's going to coach him. Like, you're mm-hmm. not his coach. You don't get to walk over and put your hands on him. Like, Juwan Howard's reactions after that are all the things that we've talked about. Like, you can't do it, right? Like, right down to the grabbing his shirt, right? Like you saw. Yeah. And then he caught himself and put his hands back and kind of, like, wagged his finger. None of that can happen either, of course. But Greg Gard can't walk over and put his hands on another grown man and think that anything else is going to happen in that situation and just be like, well, this is how we do things. Mm-hmm. You're not his coach, man. Like, he didn't ask for a lesson from you. Like, so mm-hmm. sort of where we come from, I think, like, that's, and I think that, like, that's where I understood that reaction from people in the moment, like, where they were like, hey, listen now, that he can't be swatting people. And Juwan Howard, I mean, yeah, you could say that's fireable that he's hit another coach.
Absolutely.
But it shouldn't cloud this separate part of this conversation here, and that another coach can't be walking up to another grown ass man and putting his hands on him like that. I don't care where mm-hmm. it is. Okay. Like, that's, that's another something that, you know, and I know that Tom Izzo talked about the handshake line and the sanctity of that and all that. That's different, but, like, you can't do that. Okay. Like, I think that would be Juwan Howard's maybe only point in this, but it's not something that should be totally lost mm-hmm. That, you know, and I don't think Greg Gard should have been suspended or kicked off, you know, anything else. But, like, I'm just saying, like, that's, I don't think that point needs to be lost here, because, like, we see that a lot. And it's like, Juwan Howard's a coach, just like Greg Gard. They're peers.
Yeah. I mean, I thought,
and that's part of it that I think that probably upset Juwan Howard in that moment, you know, that got lost maybe.
I thought if Gard got a game, it would have been a reasonable conclusion. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what's just, yeah, you know, I don't know who does what on that. Yeah.
Point is, you know, if he had let it go, if he had been the bigger man, right?
Just walk,
like, because I totally agree with you. Like, the whole, like, well, he did this, so he did this, and that's worse than that. Like, that's such a, the semantics of it are nonsense.
Call him,
like,
on
it
the just phone boils on the down bus.
To,
yeah, right.
to who did what and their individual responsibility. That's all that matters in terms of who has to pay what price, whatever, right? Right. And Juwan's going to pay the biggest price, as he should.
Right.
He instigated things by continuing to press when unnecessary, regardless. Yeah,
he got emotionally hijacked. That's what he got.
He instigated it by, in the line before Greg put his arm on him, saying, right, you know, I'm not going to forget that shit. He pulled down his mask. Right. So, okay, if a guy steps in front of you and you yell in his face,
okay, yeah, well, all these
maybe things, you were inviting it, but, yeah, you know, right, Gard as the adult,
right,
as the head coach, could have been the bigger man. And it's not like after this went down, he was clearing his team off the court,
no,
being a peacekeeper, saying, hey, everyone get the hell away from each other. He was standing at half court, staring down Juwan in the corner. Like, what is this, West Side Story?
It immediately, from the Wisconsin side, became a political, you know, how are we going to tell this? Mm. How are we going to spin this? How are we going to write that? And it's like, that's the other part of this I hate with college athletics. And it's like, and no, I'm not going to blame any single person on this, because a lot of people are guilty of this.
Yeah.
But everybody has somebody they can run to and then immediately just spin a narrative of nonsense. That's like, well, you need to write this, and it'll be written. And mm-hmm. and the way that these fracases, you know, and you and I have seen our share, and
fracas or fracas,
whatever, the way that these scuffles are handled by the schools in the moment are always just like, guys, you couldn't have done worse. You couldn't have done this worse if we paid you to do it worse. Like Michigan's response in the post game. Damn it, guys. What are you doing? I see Hunter Dickinson go out there and talk. You can't have it. Like, that's where I wish that there was more of a, I don't know what, but more help for the people on the ground, whatever it is, that we all look at what this is and start to understand that, like, these are situations that need more. It's a competitive, hostile, volatile, you know, everything is explosive in these moments. It's very competitive. It's very intense. Like, and we want to just act like all these people could just walk away and nothing. And we separate like gentlemen and no big deal. I mean, sometimes that doesn't happen, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I see how these things get reacted to, and I see how these things, and you see how things get leaked out, and you see the reactions on the plane. And it's like, you look back and you think, Juwan Howard should have apologized or said something contrite. Mm-hmm. And that for 20 seconds, no players should have talked. They should have said, to hell with any of you. And this is coming from me, a person who would have been like pissed.
Yeah.
Michigan should have said, to hell with anyone who has a problem with it. I don't care. Fine us. We're getting on the bus and we're leaving. That's more important.
Yeah. Right? I mean, with the player thing, I think.
It's not a big deal, but I'm just saying these things in the moment, I just feel like people aren't always equipped as much as they should be or could be probably. To handle some of this stuff. We see this all the time. It's like these things that just get overlooked or whatever in the system. And I don't know. I feel bad for people because it's like, it's a lot of stuff that they have to sort that they don't, it's not part of their job or it shouldn't be, you know, and it's hard. It's a hard deal.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
But look, when you talk right, when you talk about the post game stuff, right?
Yeah,
it's
another support staff. By the way,
it's another example of the kids were fine. It was the adults.
I know.
It was the adult.
100%.
So Devontae Jones and Hunter Dickinson got up there.
And yes, you're right. They were 100%.
They were
that's
totally
probably
fine.
Why Tom put them out there. But like, God, just get them out of there.
I'm sure they were prepped, but at the same time, like, you can also say, right, there's something to be said for by ducking, dodging, getting out. Like, you can also put up the appearance of
tough,
you know? Of dodging the situation. But when it comes to Juwan on it, like, I don't think it had any effect on the punishment that was levied, the fact that he wasn't contrite or anything like that. It's certainly the fact that there was a precedent with what happened against Maryland last year had carried way more weight than anything Juwan said post game, but Juwan certainly didn't do himself any favors.
No.
And
that's not that big a deal, but yeah, right.
Exactly. And people can say he should have been told to say this. He should have been told to say that. He was going to say
exactly
what he wanted to say.
Hard to
right. Mm-hmm. Period. End of sentence.
And that's what I'm saying.
He said,
I don't think that. Yeah.
He said what he felt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's going to need to work on himself, and we can talk about this. Like, he's going to have to use this thing to make himself a better coach and figure out, you know, why he did what he did, because he struck a guy.
Yeah.
He was a whisker away from that being the end, right? If that was a closed fist, man, he's done. If that were Greg Gard that he struck, he was done. If that was another player if he struck another player, he might have been done, right? Like, he hit another 6'8
What if a guy got hurt? Yeah, right. Like, what if somebody else had gotten hurt or something, you know?
And right. Or the melee could have been way worse. If any fans left the court, that all would have been tied back to him. He would have been done for everything that happened. The fact that he got five games was the best case scenario of a horrible situation. Oh, yeah. So he needs to, he's going to need to use that as something to make him a better leader and all, and blah, 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 and understand, you know, what is going on internally that caused that. But at the same time, I'm fairly convinced he will always say, look, Greg Gard put his hands on me first.
What's the old saying? Don't start something. There won't be nothing. Whatever.
That's right.
I remember that once upon a time. I mean, but that holds true. And I think that's, you know, that's the thing. I don't think that should be lost in this. I don't think anyone is arguing that needs to be the chief, you know, conversation point here. Obviously, mm-hmm. you can't hit somebody, but like that's certainly, I think, part of an evolving conversation where it's like I just said earlier, like you can't tell me that in that moment, Greg Gard didn't look across there and see Juwan Howard and walk over there to him as a coach to a player. That's what he did.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
That's what it looked like.
It's certainly
damn sure what it looked like. And so that sort of stuff, you just can't. Two grown adults can't have that conversation in the mm-hmm. moment there. Mm-hmm. So that's why, like you said earlier, that's why the move there is to walk away and talk on the phone, whatever. After you guys have left the locker room, you know. I mean, I can remember the time when Indiana, Michigan played, and Beilein and Crean and Jeff Meyer got in that shouting match on the court and all that bullshit. Nobody hit anybody, but I mean, it was like, you know, it was like the wimpier version of what we saw there the other mm-hmm. day. But like, mm-hmm. that was one where I think all parties were kind of like afterward, they're like, we should have just, you know, like when we got on the bus, gave somebody a shout or whatever and said, like, you know, I have my piece, said your piece, whatever, move on. And like, and I think everybody kind of said that when all the smoke cleared. And you know, that's what you think about in these moments here. And that's where for Juwan Howard, it's like, you have got to be able to get yourself there as a competitor to where you can handle that piece of your DNA, because no matter where you go as a coach, this will be a problem for you. Mm-hmm. No matter where you go, you know, we were talking about this yesterday and you brought up the point, and I was thinking about this too, like in the NBA, when you're a coach, there's always the tomorrow to move on to, you know, you mm-hmm. have a tough, shitty loss. It sucks or whatever. And well, whatever, we got the plane, we're getting out of here. We got shoot around tomorrow morning. We're playing somewhere tomorrow night. Like that's just how it is. You have something else to move on to very quickly. The emotions are not the same. The arenas are not the same. You don't have the same type of atmosphere that you have in these colleges. It is not as emotionally charged. So for someone who has that like ridiculous alpha competitor gene, which he clearly has, let's be clear. Mm-hmm. I think we've learned that about Juwan Howard. I think he hit it well for a while, but it's there. Like you got to be able to turn that off when it's time to turn it off, because it's always going to be a problem for you. Harbaugh goes through the same thing, right? Like you could go back to watching Jim Harbaugh on the sideline in the Super Bowl, falling mm-hmm. on the ground, writhing on the ground over a flag, acting like, you know, someone had shot him in the knee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if he goes back today and looks back and he's like, well, that's just, I'm just being an unhinged competitor in that moment. I'm not trying to be anything other than really what I am. I'm, did my instincts take over? And so for Juwan, it's like, you just have to evolve into a coach who can handle the, so you have to address it, I think, is really what I'm saying here. Like, it can't be something that you ignore. It can't be something that you just leave and go and, you know, well, I'm going to quit this. It's a college thing. It'll be fine somewhere else. You got to address it. And I think that's the best point of this, is that for him, it's a chance to look inward and address whatever it is that needs to be addressed. And that going from the thing that makes you great and, you know, knowing when to kind of control that part of it, I guess that's probably what it is, because you don't want to lose that. Cause I saw that with Harbaugh too. You don't want to lose that fire that connects you to the players.
Yep.
Cause that's what makes him so unique and so special, but you've got to be able to control it better, you know, and you've got to be able to, and I think that's just growth in general, and we'll see how it goes. But I guess I'm less disappointed in his response, Juwan's response after they sent it out yesterday. His, mm-hmm. you know, it seems like he's at least understood, you know, got, you know, he had time to cool off and let it sink in. I don't know what all, like you said, he'll probably always think, you know, dude shouldn't have stepped in front of me here, but
yeah.
You know, what are you going to do?
It's funny you talk about the connection with the players. I did have an assistant coach from another power conference school outside the Big Ten. Say to me, the funny thing is this could potentially help him in recruiting. There's going to be players that are like, I want to play for that fucking time.
If my coach had done that, I'd been like, let's go, coach. Let's go. We'll pay your fine. We'll wash cars. I'm telling you, like, the teams I played on when I was a kid. But, you know, hey, but the best coaches I had would have been like, no, fuck you. I'm paying the fine. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you remember when you were a kid. Right. Like, that's Juwan, you know, and I think that's the part that makes this whole thing kind of weird, unique, whatever you want to call it. But, like, the thing that makes him a great coach is also the thing that burns you. It's the other side of the blade.
Right. Yeah, like I keep making the point, like, he put his guys in a terrible spot. He put his guys potentially in danger. Those, like, I don't know if the players feel that way, even though Terrence Williams got punched in the head.
I'll do it again, coach.
I would imagine some of their parents might, though.
Yes, and that's why it's different. Right. Yeah.
So let's go through. This is Juwan Howard's quote that was issued from the school. I'll just read this real quick because I want to touch on this before we get into some questions from folks. All right, this is the quote. After taking time to reflect on all that happened, I realized how unacceptable both my actions and words were and how they affected so many. I am truly sorry. I'm offering my sincerest apology to my players and their families, my staff, my family, and the Michigan fans around the world. Mm-hmm. I would like to personally apologize to Wisconsin assistant coach Joe Krabanoff, and his family too. Lastly, I speak a lot about being a Michigan man and representing the University of Michigan with class and pride. I did not do that, nor did I set the right example in the right way for my student athletes. I will learn from my mistakes, and this mistake will never happen again. No excuses. So, look, right. As I said in my story, did Juwan scribble that on a notepad and send it on over? I don't think so. There are PR people who are paid to do PR, but he'd have to rubber stamp it,
right?
You know, so point being, like, if that's legit, right? Yeah. And well, if that's legit, how he reasonably looks at it, then like, there's a chance here, because like another point here is this one thing also does not change the character and the credentials of a guy who, other than the Maryland thing, right? A couple, whatever, is widely lauded as being, you know, a great leader of young men and, you know, a guy who was a mentor in the NBA and like,
that'll
who
still
at the beginning of the season, right? Holy hell, the love affair, right? He had a top 10 team and a contract extension, and Juwan Howard was, you know, the hottest thing on two legs in college basketball. And the Michigan brand was as strong as it got. And then, the fact that, you know, he had a horrible
day,
lapse of judgment in that moment, like, you know, and yes, but at the same time, there are things that are just a bridge too far. And goddamn, he walked right up to that bridge.
Well, you know, he did. And it's also it's a chance, like you said, it's a chance for him to work on himself, but also, I think, a chance for him to look at what he's doing. Because look at, they're 13-11, 14-11. They're not good, right? No. They're not good at all. And they've got problems right now within how they're playing. Like, all things are being reflected. They got their ass kicked in that game, by the way. That's like part of the issue here. So, like, it's also an opportunity, I think, for him to look at how is my approach, you know, being sort of taken here by everybody. Do I have the people that I'm jiving with properly, you know, in the right seats? Do I need to change some of these things about myself? I think these coaches that are like Juwan Howard, who have that high achieving, you did everything at the highest level. And for you, it was easier than everybody, than the normal person, but you understand, and that's why it makes you a good coach. You understand why that is, and you can explain that. But at the same time, there needs to be some humility, and there needs to be some, you know, some of that. I don't know everything, I guess. And I can be talked back. I can be brought back to earth a little bit here.
Right.
Because that's, I think, what we're seeing sometimes with Juan. It's like, and I saw that, I've seen that with Harbaugh. And it's like, he's at his best when he's got people that can grab him by the shoulder and be like, listen to me. And he does listen, and he listens to them. It might be a personal hell for that person who has to grab him and say, listen to me, to get them to listen. But when he finally listens, it's really good. Like, Juan needs that person. Clearly.
Well, worth noting, he's had some losses in his life
in
the very recent past that.
So all things, you know, are happening.
Yes.
As a human being.
That is that could be a element here. That's way too deep for us to dive into here without knowing exactly what we're talking about. But
opportunity for growth, I guess, is what I would say. It certainly is one of those.
Look, what it boils down to is this. Is Wisconsin blameless? Like, before everyone says, Wisconsin, right? Is Wisconsin blameless?
No.
But does whatever happened on the Wisconsin side of things excuse anything that happened on the Michigan side of things, or vice versa? Also, no. Juwan screwed up massively. Mm-hmm. And the penalty that came from it points to that. Yeah. And it sure as hell doesn't seem like Ward Manuel was ready to say, yeah, but what about, or anything like that. It was five games for Juwan. Five games, which you don't really see. That's a lot of games. Penalty. Yeah, right. He's not allowed in the building. He's basically excommunicated from his team
for
2 weeks, or more than that, right?
Three weeks.
So that's what it is. He did enough to lose his job. And he didn't lose his job in part because he's Juwan Howard.
I'll bet Ward said that to him.
So
I'll bet Ward Manuel said all that to him right there.
I would think so.
Exactly.
And that's what it boils down to. So, you know, I'm sure one of the first questions we'll have is, you know, what is the status of his job? And that's worth talking. Like, is he in risk? I don't think he's in risk unless he gives him reason, you know?
Yeah. I mean, right. If anything close to something like this happens again, that's, you know, that's the thing now. It's like, that's the thing you go through with stuff like this.
I mean, he's going to be on a zero tolerance.
Yeah. I mean, like, he already did the thing where he made Turgeon shit his pants in that one game, right? And like, oh my God, if that had been, if, you know, what, Chris Hunter hadn't been able to tackle him that day, like, that could have been a real
disaster. Yeah, thank God you have a 6'11 director of basketball operations.
Chris Hunter, by the way, back on the staff. What is this? Like, did you see my tweet? Like, Chris Hunter could write multiple books at this point. Like, what a guy, that guy's lived 30 lives with the Michigan basketball program. But anyway. I mean, I think that you say, like, if anything even remotely close to this happens again, or I see, and if you're Wharton, you say, if I see you even flirting with the idea of becoming unhinged again, we're done. Like, we're done here. I cannot have this. I got enough shit going on. That's probably what he told him, like, in no uncertain terms. Can I get a day here? You know, like, can you imagine Ward at the end of Sunday? Like, the hell is going on around here? Can I get one day without, like, chaos just erupting? Like,
oh shit. Anyway. Yeah, that would have been, that would be the real behind the scenes story to write off of
Ward's
that day. Is what was Ward's reaction to where it was? I think he was on the road somewhere.
I don't think he was at Wisconsin, which is part of my.
I don't think he was at the game. No.
The people that were there. I mean, like, I feel like these teams and these support staff, they always get hung out to dry. It's like, it's too much. Mm-hmm. It's becoming too much. And I thought about that too. It was just a bad.
Yeah.
I felt bad for everyone involved. Yeah. That was going to have to unpack it. It was just a mess.
I didn't think there was a reasonable chance of Ward really seriously entertaining the idea of dismissing him.
No.
However, I did wonder, like,
probably thought about it though.
I'm sure it had to cross his mind. Like, do I have to? Yeah, right. But I did wonder, was there going to be any level of other voices?
That's what I'm
saying. Whether it's from the regents, you know, the president's office is obviously a shit show, but like, could there be anything from that direction?
That probably helped them too. Yeah.
This is not some just cut and dry, you know, Ward on an island gets to do whatever he wants. Like, there's going to be a lot. I'm sure there's a lot of voices coming at him.
What would that have looked like if they'd...
This is unacceptable! Like, yeah, no shit.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Okay, we're going to readjust here because, you know, there were people that, you know, wanted him fired or thought he should be fired in the moment. And I think that I would say that in the moment, it's a fireable offense. And I would say, like you said, like we've talked about, like certainly it has to enter your brain that elevates to the level of, you know, someone does that, you know, that should be considered at least, that should be on the table, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But to the people who were like, that needs to happen right here, right now, no questions asked, like, I think that's a bit much. That's what I would say.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and it's, I think it's a situation where it's like, you got to let that thing breathe, man. As I said, like, an old friend, Don Marcus, used to write for the Baltimore Sun for ages and is a great guy. And he's now teaching at, I want to say, American University, teaches a journalism class. And he like reached out yesterday.
Is that in Philly or is that in Maryland?
DC. Okay. Or in that general part of the world, whatever. He reached out and was like, hey man, like I know that there's just stuff flying in every which direction, but you know, I teach this class and I would love to get like real time, like, hey, how do you do something like this volatile? And I was like, yeah, man, I'll hop on for 20 minutes, whatever. So it was me and Jim Polzine, who covers Wisconsin, is also a great guy. But like, one of the things that I said to that class was like, you don't realize how long 10 minutes are.
No.
Until you're in like a moment like that, because there's the initial incident and like the first 10 minutes,
It is
just mass chaos. And then you look at the clock and you realize only 10 minutes have gone by. And you already are people who have already fired him and hired the next coach. And these suspensions are coming out.
I know.
The Big Ten needs to do this and this needs to do that. And you're just like, can everyone just
relax?
Stop for a second and let's actually kind of evaluate the situation. No one is getting fired.
Right.
Ward is not going to rappel from the rafters of the center.
Appear and fire him in public. That's what I was saying earlier when I was like, I feel horrible for like Y-Rod and the SIDs and these people that are here that have to help these situations, that have to get people through them. Because I don't think they have enough support, because I think that these things have escalated to a point beyond, like you said, people's reactions in the moment. It used to be 10 years ago, it was something we'd laugh about. They're like, oh, whatever. These idiots on Twitter are yelling and screaming. That's not how it's reacted to anymore.
Right.
You know, it's the judge and jury has been, you know, everything's been decided. And so I think you leave people hanging out to dry on the road in these situations where it's like, this is a mess. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you don't know how long 10 minutes are in a mess until you've been in one. And buddy, like, the whole thing about de-escalating a situation, that doesn't stop because you're in the middle of a mess. Like, people still have to find a way to get themselves back to.
Yeah.
That was the thing that kind of rang in my head yesterday. I was like, all the people that needed to be there to help Juwan Howard and the players they didn't have enough help. Like, I was like, those people didn't have enough help. That's a process I would think that I would look at if I were Michigan. Those people need more help. You know, I just think this is bigger. This has all become a bigger thing than we ever Big Ten's about to sign $1 billion. What was this contract they're going to get here? Double? You see this? The TV?
Yeah, so, something like that. Yeah, yeah. So
I just think there's too much going on.
Somewhere on the site.
Yeah, like that. That was another thing that I thought. That's another soapbox moment. But like, I felt bad for everybody involved. It was just a horrible situation.
All right, let's get into some questions here and get the hell out of here. Yeah. All right. Okay, here we go.
Do you have them up?
How will this season, this is from Richard, how will this season's struggles impact Michigan basketball in recruiting, retaining players, and keeping assistant coaches? The struggles of this season, I don't really see that being that big of a deal in terms of changing anyone that they could not get. I think there are way more factors that have way more weight than wins and losses in 2021, 22.
That's what I would say though, but I think that it's an opportunity for them to sort of readjust their process, because I don't think you can look at this year if you're, you know, this thing apart, this thing, let's say take this whole thing out of it, the fight, whatever. Mm-hmm. The fact that they were where they were heading into that loss, you know, they've had problems. Like, I think that if you're Juwan Howard, you look at your process. Like, you can't – the thing that a lot of these coaches they catch problems with is they think, well, I just had young guys. You make excuses for yourself. And then that compounds into 3 years of you just having young guys and struggling. So I think this is – more than anything, it's not about – who you're going to lose. He'll always be able to recruit. Like we said, it might even actually improve out of this, but it's that ability to, it's the stuff that you're doing day to day that he needs to look at a lot of stuff they're doing day to day, clearly, because, you know, it can't just be about, well, you got to hit the magic lotto number and get Mike Smith as your point guard every year, or this all goes to hell. Like, that can't be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I think there's a lot of things, you know, it's just as a 10,000 foot view from my eyes, looking at this as a coach who's younger, getting started, like, he's at a point now where you've had success. You've had the other side. You've got to look and see what was real, what wasn't on both ends of that fence.
From Roger, no repercussions for coaches who put hands on T-Will? Krabanoff appeared to initially, and then another coach staffer seemed to tackle him moments later. Well, curious whether that has been addressed by anybody. I'll hang up and listen. Shout out Roger. Look, I mean, personally,
hyperbole?
I don't know. I mean, whatever you want to interpret the Zapruder film, I don't
know.
Fair enough. Like, the fact of the matter is, like,
the two
Wisconsin assistants were certainly not de-escalating anything. They were going forward.
The one guy crotch backwards.
that guy's a legend, but whatever. Geez.
That was pretty good, actually.
But anyway, I did think that the Wisconsin staff, I thought there should have been some more repercussions.
Probably so.
I thought just like a game here and there, I didn't think would have been a too big of a deal. But Wisconsin positioned itself immediately. They had the athletic director at the press conference.
Yeah, right.
You know, they were ready to go. They knew exactly what it was going to be. And if the league office came to them and said, we're suspending this assistant and this assistant, then I'm pretty sure Wisconsin would say, the hell you are. That was self-defense. Mm-hmm. They came at us. We have every right to defend ourselves. You're not suspending shit. We'll appeal everything. And the Big Ten would have probably said, well, okay, let's just get this thing over with, right? That's a possible scenario, I would say.
I'm sure that would have been handled well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was, but yeah, like Wisconsin staff, there's no total lack of accountability there.
This is the problem I have. A lot of times you see this when you have a, what do we say, fracas, whatever it is. Like, when you have a scrum and you have two college teams getting in there. In football, usually what I see, not always, is all coaches on all sides running out just grabbing guys.
Yeah.
Right? And it's less about, like, get off my guy. And more about, everybody get the hell out of here. And I see sometimes in basketball, I feel like, maybe because there's less people, like, there's more of the get off of him and like protecting. And it's like,
sure.
And I understand the instinct on both sides of that. But I think that that's something where, like, the instinct has to kick in of, like, hey, you're coaches. All these guys are players. All these guys need to be protected, not just yours. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all parties involved here. And maybe because football, like, people got helmets on, like, it's more like, oh shit, this could get, and there's more of an intensity to get this thing ended right now because this could get really, really bad. Whereas in basketball, I think we all just assume, well, I mean, okay, these guys punching each other, this is going to stop on its own naturally, right? There needs to be more probably adult behavior there. And like, you know, everyone needs to be your kid at that point, right? Like, and those moments, sometimes we see that, sometimes we don't. I think in that situation, I would say that would be my criticism on the Wisconsin side, where it's like, needs to be less you and them at that point, right? Like, we need to now de-escalate and become adults again and get the hell out of here and go home safely. Like, that no needs doubt. To be no part doubt. Of the process here. So, yeah.
And that was a scary moment for
it was.
The staff guy. Like, there were a few camera shots where you could see John Sanderson, you could see Saudi Washington, and you could see it in their eyes, like, what the hell was that?
What just happened?
What just happened? Yeah. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Did that just happen?
It was very. I got the people who said it reminded them of the Palace thing. And you know, I don't. You know, I think some people were like, "Well, it wasn't that bad." I'm like, "Well, that's not." I don't think necessarily the point. The point was that it was you're watching something. You're like, "I've never seen this before. I don't know what am I watching here?"
Right.
That's the feeling that you got. You know, it was like and I think for the people on the floor, it's even more. Like, you don't understand. Like, when you're live at something like that and it happens, it's even more like, the fuck? Like,
yeah.
And then it's like harder to sort of sort it in your head because you got all this chaos on top of you.
No, that's one of those, like, when you're there in person, like, the heart is just pounding through the chest.
Yeah, like so much adrenaline. If you're at a buzzer beater, if you're covered a game that has a buzzer beater.
Exactly. Same thing.
It's like, Jesus. Like, okay, everybody.
It's like an outside the body experience. Yeah.
Really, everybody breathe. I've got to get this thing, you know, it's hard. So it's a lot going on in the moment and it's a hard deal, but I think we need to understand that these are hard things. And
here's one from Carl, who, based on this question, I'm pretty sure is a longtime listener because he gets us.
Oh, yeah. Carl gets us.
When this type of situation happens, is there part of you that doesn't want a firing to happen because you don't want to cover a fucking coaching search?
Again.
Carl.
Of course. Carl.
Carl, you're speaking our language, man.
Right.
Nobody wants that.
But your head goes there. Because of
that.
Does. 100%
does.
Because you don't want to do it, but your head still goes there immediately. Because you're just like, anytime, that's the great point, because anytime something that we've never seen before happens, when there's no precedent, that's when shit's like, I don't know. I got to tell you. Because we all, you know, the closer we've gotten to this over the years in these process, you're around these people who make these decisions. We'd all like to think that they have these real scientific ways of doing things and, you know, they sit down, they have their charts. No, like a lot of times at the end of the day, it's still just the same thing that you go through. So challenging stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. From Luke, do you think this incident will affect the way other coaches and officials in the league view Juwan? Will he have an either shorter leash for technical fouls? I think it's a great question from Luke because I talked to a few coaches in the league.
Yeah.
And even outside the league that were like, what the hell was that? Like,
right. What the hell was that?
That and
not acceptable.
I didn't even know how to react
to
what they saw.
Don't know how to
react. And they're like, there is definitely a vibe out there among in the coaching world of like, what the hell's up with that dude?
He's intimidating people.
It is that. I mean,
he's trying to. That's what it seems.
and
or they think that anyway.
Like, people just didn't know how to even process what they saw. They're like, you can't hit another coach, man. Like, look, crazy shit happens in this business,
right?
Like, you can't have one coach hitting another coach. Like, that just doesn't happen. So, yes, I think a lot of coaches are trying to figure out what that was. And in terms of officials, I don't know if you'll have a shorter leash. I would have thought so. I don't know. But
here's what I would say. I think that coaches who play.
The thing is that when he gets technicals, those are no doubt about it, technicals.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, right.
Like, he damn near does the old blue chips, take the ball, punt it across the court.
I think coaches who played the game at a high level know what he's doing when he's yelling at him. And, you know, like, yeah, he's competing. Like, when you play, Juwan Howard is still 7 foot tall. and he's still like in a pretty darn good shape, would we say? I don't know. I mean, like, I don't want to overspeak, but he looks like he could play. He's a big guy. And when he gets upset and like glares down, you know, like that, you know, like that's part of, I think, Juwan competing as a coach.
All right.
And I think that I would say that he needs to probably keep that. I think that's, I would keep that, but you need to find a way to de-escalate some of it, right? Where it can't be so like, oh my God, is he going to punch me? Like, you know, like, that can't happen.
I'll tell you what, man, when I went through the process of doing that Maryland story, a couple, like whatever, a month or two ago. And, you know, everyone knows, right, I'm based in Michigan. I've covered Michigan, but in the past, blah, blah, blah. The story I was working on had nothing to do with Michigan, but it came up multiple times in conversations at the, like, the end where it'd be like, oh, hey, by the way,
what the hell was that
stuff with Howard last year, right? That was all before this, but it was like, because it wasn't just the incident at the tournament.
No.
The game in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
Like, Juwan was, like, looking down at their sideline and, like, talking shit. They're like, go get – what is this guy doing?
Yeah, you can't do this.
But then, like, you know, Juwan will always point to the other coach that's out of his box. And
well,
like,
yeah.
You know,
I mean, he's competing. I think that's what that is. Yeah.
Over time, it's come, like – I think he thought that he was being felt – being treated differently in his very beginning days as a coach.
Right.
That he was like being treated as a player.
Right. That's what we just said.
And that, and that changed like midway through his first year where he started working refs and he started being like, you know what? I'm evening the playing field. Fuck this. Right.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And you saw him gradually change over his first year. And then his second year, you know, it was more fire.
Lighter
and then
fuel
this
on
year,
that one,
he's been like, he's the wick has been lit, man. Like he goes when he goes, he goes. So,
and that's good. Yeah. But like, also it can't be, there's got to be a governor on there or whatever. Like there's got to be the, the controller switch.
Well, Dylan made a great point yesterday where it's like, and part of this might just be the evolution of being,
I think it's just growing up. And, yeah. Right.
As but like, There's a bit of an art to, you know, working officials.
And oh my
when,
God.
When
yeah.
you get on them, right, you're building or you're angling at something. Mm-hmm. You don't just go off the handle, right? And now a lot of coaches do, right? And yes, I know Michigan fans are listening and being like, excuse me, I've seen Tom Izzo sprint down the sidelines after. Yes. Like coaches do lose their shit. No doubt. Right. but there is that like level of, I am prepping you for when I need you, Mr. Official.
Right.
Yeah, and you're going to make that call that I need. You know what I mean? And just counteracting what the opposing coach is doing. Like this is like a game within a game within a game. But then like
it's just more intense.
When it pops, I mean, and you're right. And part of it might be the fact that he is a 6'8" dude. Looking down on any, and he's, you know,
and he's a high achieving massive NBA all-star. I think he says, hey, you want to compete? Let's compete. Let's go. That's what he's doing. Mm. It's just a matter of growing into the job. I think that's it. He's just got to,
that's fair.
He's got to grow into that and find ways to be a head coach and control that part of his thing that, you know, made him great as a player. Because it's been the thing that you go through history, the great players, the players that were great at their sport are not. And by and large, I would say on average, you go through it, it's like the ones that try to coach, usually they don't do well because they cannot. Why can't you, you know, like, why can't you do this the way that I did it? It just needs to be. We have these conversations, right? Like it just has to be done this way. I shouldn't have to explain this to you, right? Like that's not a coach. And so I think it's just evolving into away from player into coach. He's been a player longer than he's been a coach. You know, like Jim Harbaugh is the same. Jim Harbaugh, I think even today was a player for longer than he's been a coach. And I think that it's still a process for those guys that were like high level players to get away from that. Greg Gard was not an NBA All-Star. Okay. Izzo, for as much as he'd like to tell us that he controls, you know, the sanctity of college basketball, doesn't have shit on Juwan Howard in terms of what he did playing basketball. I think that's part of this. And so when I hear lifer coaches want to lecture someone else about how they should handle these things, sometimes I get a little like, maybe you should just coach your team. And so that I think comes up with Juwan Howard a lot too, right? Like where it's like, maybe you should just coach your team and let me do the things I want to do the way I want to do them, but you can't be punching people. So that's the other part.
Yeah. All right. We'll hit a couple more and then get out of here. From AK, do you feel Wisconsin's reply to the situation, basically absolving guard of wrongdoing and paying his fine, was acceptable? That was a doozy of a statement.
Acceptable?
From McIntosh, the Wisconsin AD.
It's clearly acceptable.
Big vibes of the Illinois AD last year sending out his press release that was basically like, kiss my ass, we're the Big Ten champions and blah, blah, blah. And what I think it really boils down to,
we're the Big Ten champions,
is ADs often are very, very close to basically being politicians.
Yes.
And politicians have one end game, and it's to play to their base.
Right.
And that's, to me, is pretty much all you're seeing there. So I understand it, right? You're going to back your coach, whatever.
Gene Smith said the other day that if Ohio State ever hosts a Big Ten playoff game, they're going to put it inside because Ryan Day's offense would be affected by the weather. ADs at every school except for a handful are more politician than anything else. And part of the reason why Michigan ends up getting criticized by his own base all the time is because he's like the least political athletic director in the country, I would say. It's very interesting to hear and see, because you could see the machinations turning. Like you said, Wisconsin's AD was already sitting there, like in the room.
Ready to go, baby.
Ready to go. That's another thing. Like, yeah, it is what it is. You can't control that. That's how, if schools are going to operate like that, then
but you play to your base.
Right.
And frankly, if the roles were reversed,
they would do the
and
same,
Ward right. Manuel issued that statement about Juwan, Michigan fans would be like, you're goddamn right. You know, so let's not act like that's not 1,000% the case. Okay. Yeah. Another question from Andrew. Does Howard understand the rule for resetting the 10-second clock when the ball went out of bounds? That seemed to be the start of the bad feelings for Howard. Andrew, a very loyal listener, I believe. I don't know. I don't know. And you know, it's a question because Guard introduced it as a question when he did his post game with CBS, where he said, I don't know if he knew the rule that I called that timeout to reset the 10-second clock that led to him getting pissed off. And that's what I wanted to explain to him in the line.
Right.
Couple things here.
That's fine.
I have no idea if somebody on the Michigan staff has to know that rule. I would assume Juwan knows the rule.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's a head coach. Yeah.
He's the head coach, right? It's the line, the handshake line, when the coach is pulling down his mask, cursing at you, probably not the time to be like, let's get into semantics about rules.
Why I was fucking with you.
Hash this baby out right here and now.
Let's get into semantics about why I was fucking with you right now. Yeah, let's do that right now. In front of 20,000 people in my building, by the way. After I just beat your ass. Fuck off. Like, that's right. Like, that's, you're not, nothing good is coming of that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I agree.
The like, does he know the, I don't know. And, you know, I don't know if Juwan's going to ever have a conversation about what went down and replay this thing step by step. But sure. Does he know the rule? I don't know. I'd love to talk to him about it.
Well, I just think that everybody was just heated there.
Everyone was just heated. And the other thing is Michigan was getting its ass kicked.
Yeah,
everyone was
pissed. Doesn't matter.
They wanted to
happening.
Leave. Right. They're playing at Wisconsin, which is a miserable experience. They just wanted to get out of there.
Any little thing you do, I'm going to do back to you. You know, this kind 100%. Of crap. It's like when Harbaugh took his timeouts at the end of the Orange Bowl there, when they're down 35-6, he's going to take them anyway because, you know, and it's like, I understand, I agree on the other side where it's like, it's not the other coach's job to, you know, cater to your coach being weird or crazy, but like, yeah, I mean, you got to control yourself. So,
I think that might be it.
But we'll cover it on the old situation here.
Let's see. Oh, Rick asked one. Rick's a long timer.
All right.
Can your boy Martell, I don't like him being referenced as my boy, first of all. Can your boy Martelli write the ship, save the season, and get Michigan to the big
save
dance?
The season. Here we go.
Exclamation point question mark.
Can Juwan Howard come back for the tournament if they make the tournament?
Yeah,
we're led to believe.
I mean, so the release said they will revisit it at the end of the suspension about him returning. I mean, I find it hard to believe, right, that, yes, yeah, I think his suspension ends at the end of the season, or at the end of the regular season. So he would be available for the Big Ten tournament in Minneapolis, probably for a first-round game against Wisconsin, just because that's how the world works. And we just burned the whole city down. So
that's happening.
But he's not – but as part of the suspension, though, like, he is not allowed –
Right, nothing.
At anything. Yeah. No team activities. He's not allowed in the facility.
Can't even recruit, I don't think.
He's out. Out. So, like, this is now, yes, this is
Phil's team.
If Phil Martelli is the acting head coach, then he is the acting head coach. which is insane.
But let's just take a minute to stop here and think about for a second that Phil Martelli is going to go into whatever that little thing on the Wikipedia page that says all-time Michigan head basketball coaches.
That's right.
Phil will be on there. Phil Martelli is going to have a record, an official record in the book, Michigan coaching records. And down at the bottom, it's going to be like Phil Martelli, 2-2 or whatever, 3-2.
And it's not only him coaching
five games. Oh, about that. Yeah.
It's not only him coaching five games. It's him coaching five games with an NCAA tournament bid hanging in the balance.
Could be 5-0.
And he's playing four straight home games here.
Oh, baby.
Against Rutgers, against Illinois, against Michigan State, against Iowa. And then the season finale at Ohio State. Like, look, there's a world of possibilities here, right? This thing can fall apart at the seams. Or you
could get a book out of this, my man.
Hey, man, they're playing four games at home.
And yeah, I wouldn't rule anything out here.
That's what you want, man. Like, so
how many games has Phil Martelli coached? 10 billion would be that be an accurate answer? I mean, like, for all things considered, this is why he's here. So he's here to be a wise hand on the side. I don't know. I don't know how that's all going to go, but I do wonder. I did wonder about that. Like. Mm-hmm. Same reason about, you know, does this make Juwan, like, some of the players are going to like him more on the other side of this, right, for sticking up for him. Does this, you know, present an opportunity for them, or do they have so many issues as a team right now in terms of, like, forget all, it's not about effort. It's not about lack of focus or whatever. We've just got to learn how to play. Like, is that the bigger problem? Mm-hmm. And if that's the bigger problem, then I would say, no, Phil's not going to be able to fix that in five games. But, right. Like, if it's about, like, hey, let's just forget about some other shit and just focus on what we need to focus on. Okay, well, now I could buy maybe something like that.
And I'm sure there will be some absurd narrative of that. If they do go 4-1, people are going to be like, Phil Martelli saved the season. He should be
the head coach. Like,
okay, let's everyone calm down here.
I don't think Phil wants that job, does he?
probably not. So to answer your question, he has coached 772 games as a head coach.
I think he knows what he's doing.
All coming at St. Joseph's. He was the head coach there from 1995 to 2019.
So what are you going to do? What are you going to write when they beat Michigan State and Phil Martelli is standing on the scoreboard or the scores table singing that song with the crowd, you know, at the end there? What are you going to – not the victors, but the other thing that they sing at the end. What are you going to do?
Oh, the alma mater?
Like, yeah, you're going to be there, like, oh, I'm just going to walk out of here.
0% chance Phil knows the words to that song.
That doesn't matter. He's going to stand up there and act like he does.
He probably knows the victors, or at least most of it at this point. I don't.
Strange things have happened, folks.
I mean, it would be a hell of a story.
There's
a lot to unpack here in terms of what this means for Martelli. You know, the way things ended at St. Joe's kind of clouds, mm-hmm. I think, part of probably how he feels about his legacy.
Sure.
And the notion of kind of getting a chance here to do something that would be a potential final impression as a head coach.
Remembered. Yeah.
Probably means, and I don't know if any of this is set in for him. We have not spoken. I don't know if his mind has gone in that way, but
I would bet he's looking at
that's
it as
the reality of the situation. Right.
I would bet you'd know him. I mean, better than I, but I would bet he's looking at it as a challenge and looking at it as this is why I'm here to get Juwan's back. Mm-hmm. And this is what I got to do. So let's go.
Yeah, it's right now, him and the entire staff, Saudi Washington, Howard Eisley, everyone else, really, like, they are assistants. Juwan is the head coach. It's their job to get Michigan to the NCAA tournament so that Juwan Howard can coach in the NCAA tournament and have that be the talking point of the season, not what happened in Madison.
I would bet you my car that at Phil Martelli's first coaching meeting, that's what he wrote on the board. Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, it is our job to get him back on the court. Let's go fucking figure out how to do it. That's it.
Right. I would think
like, you know, like, I mean, that's why we're here. We're here for him. So, you know, he gets it. I think that in all, it could be worse. You know, like, that's what I thought about that too. After the whole thing, you know, for them and the situation they're in, you know, it certainly could be worse. You could be looking to a guy who's never done it, you know, and then it's like, oh God, like, what's going to happen now? So,
yeah. I did have somebody message me and say, Jameer Nelson ain't walking through that door.
No, no.
I don't think so. But I will say there are enough pieces on this team that this team can finish 3-2.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you before we
and seal this thing up and feel decent about itself going into Indy. And then that's kind of a reset. What you don't want is to be 1-4, even 2-3, and going to Indy in desperation mode now with the head coach coming back, right? Like, finish with a winning mark. I think you're in good shape.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you think it's possible? Like, are there issues fixable at this point in the season, or are they things that are just like, you know, you've got to change stuff in the off season and
they are who they are right now. And guys need to hit shots. And that's
so, yeah,
like there's not going to be any radical reorder.
So the coach has nothing to do with.
Martelli's not walking in and ripping up the playbook and being like, you know, we're going,
that's right.
handing out game film from his 2001 St. Joe's team. That,
although I would love to see it. I would be here for it if he does. All right, boys, let's all sit down and watch this game from 1996.
This is a guy named Rashid Bey. Let me tell you about him. All right.
Phil's got the clicker now, everybody. Okay.
All right. We're already off the rails. All right. I'm sure there'll be plenty of time for you to ask me super obscure St. Joe's questions in the next few weeks. So, all right. We are wrapping it on that. Nick, always a pleasure.
Yeah, man.
My dear friend. Thank you. And to all you out there, hey, leave us a review in the iTunes store. Apparently, that's a good thing. And tip your bartenders and servers.